Chapter 178 To Sister Lindsay, Sunnyside, Corinbong, May 8, 1896. Dear Sister Lindsay, please read Christ's instruction to the lawyer, recorded in Luke 10, verses 25 through 28. A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he, answering, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. This lesson outlines the duty of all. By this mail I am writing to Brother C. H. Jones, and if possible will send you a copy of his letter. Again and again, at different times and in different places, decided warnings have been given me. I could not define the import of these warnings, for they were presented to me in figures and symbols. I have been very much puzzled over this matter, which was introduced before my husband's death. Since that time I have been shown that efforts would be made to bind up the publishing house in Oakland with the publishing house in Battle Creek, in order that the publishing house at Battle Creek might have control. These warnings I did not fully understand, because many times the message had been given me that these two institutions should not be at strife with one another, or manifest anything savoring of jealousy or envy, but that they should stand as sister institutions, each doing their appointed work as God's instrumentalities. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Each institution was established of God to do its respective work. Before my husband's death, this matter in regard to the publishing house at Battle Creek and the publishing house at Oakland was presented to me under the figure of the vine, and since that time it has been presented to me under the same figure. The Lord has shown me that these two institutions are to be kept as separate as two branches which, though distinct, both center in the parent vine. They are not to be merged into one, but are to be kept distinct, yet each is to derive its nourishment from the same source. Said Christ, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine, you are the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. And therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Under different figures this matter has been presented to me, and I know that it is not the Lord's will that these two publishing houses shall be united. I fear that those at Battle Creek have also made a mistake in taking over the schools and the health retreat at St. Helena. The publishing house at Battle Creek has been under the reproof of God for years, especially since the time of the Minneapolis meeting, when some acted the part of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. If its managers were not swelled with self-importance and self-sufficiency, They would not feel that they could carry every crippled institution. The showing of their own institution is anything but favorable. Edson White was unsparingly condemned because he was to blame in his financial management, but those who condemned him knew that their own financial embarrassment was not after God's order. This has been represented to me like a man trying to pull a mote out of the eye of his brother while a beam was in his own eye. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which committed such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.